Chapter 9, Revealing Truths. Twilight walked back to the Golden Oaks Library with Nyx as the sun began to set beneath the western horizon. Rainbow Dash and a few others were still back at the school, cleaning up the Learn and Play Day. Normally, she'd be right there beside them, but after everything that had happened and all the time she had spent helping organize the event, Twilight was thankful she had opted out. The last thing she wanted to do at the moment was to linger around the school with Nyx. Nyx, however, was oblivious to Twilight's concern, and as happy as she could be, she bounced alongside Twilight, proudly wearing her first place ribbon from the tug-of-war competition and her Cutie Mark Crusader cape. She used a kazoo, her chosen prize, to play a triumphant fanfare that only she knew the notes to. It was a sight that let Twilight relax a little. She was happy that Nyx had enjoyed herself. The silence from the crowd after the last round had been deafening. Twilight could only imagine how bad Nyx would have felt if no pony had cheered for her. Thankfully, Apple Bloom, Sweetie Belle, and Scootaloo broke the silence, letting Nyx laugh and enjoy her victory. It was, however, only a small drop of happiness in a sea of fear and anxiety. While Nyx was unaware of what had happened, Twilight had been in the crowd, watching when she used her magic to win that last round of tug-of-war. It had started off simply enough, but then Nyx started using more and more magic. It was more magic than Twilight had ever seen from her, and there didn't appear to be an end in sight. And as Nyx filled herself with it, things about her began to change. Nyx's mane started shimmering at first, something that could have easily been waved off as a trick of light. Yet, Nyx's mane and her tail continued to change, revealing the energy flowing through her body. They grew lighter and began to float and wave in the air, as though Nyx was deep underwater. The shimmering of her hair also condensed, changing from what could be mistaken as glitter to defined, constant dots. It was one of the worst things Twilight could have imagined happening. Nyx's mane and tail had started to change into the night blue mane and tail that Nightmare Moon was known for, with every pony at Learn and Play Day watching. The timely defeat of the other team kept Nyx's mane and tail from changing completely, but several unwanted thoughts still lingered in Twilight's mind. For the first time since the evening Nyx had called her Mom, Twilight doubted herself. Could Nyx really be Nightmare Moon? She had always argued that Nyx just looked like the infamous mare in the moon, but with those memories returning and her level of magic, was it possible she really was Nightmare Moon? Part of Twilight's mind snapped at these thoughts, cracking a mental whip like an animal tamer driving a beast back into its cage. No, Nyx was not Nightmare Moon. The filly was too sweet, too well-behaved, too sensitive to ever be Nightmare Moon. She was happy. She played and laughed with her friends. Yes, Nightmare Moon laughed at times, but her laughter was maddening and born of scorn and thoughts of domination, not true happiness. Yet Twilight did know one thing. Nyx was showing signs of being an immortal alicorn. The filly that she was taking care of, that she was raising, there was a chance that she would be alive for thousands of years, with the power to do things that would boggle the minds of other ponies. Was she really up to that kind of responsibility, to shape the life of a filly that could live for the rest of time? Nyx noticed how silent Twilight had been and stopped her happy kazoo playing before looking up with a hint of concern. "Twilight," she asked, "are you okay?" "Huh? What?" Twilight turned her head down to face Nyx and put on a forced smile. "Oh, yes, I'm fine. Just tired, that's all. We've had a busy day. Now, why don't you run in and show Spike your ribbon? I'm just going to stay outside for a little while longer." Nyx nodded, returned the kazoo to her mouth, and blew on it loudly as she ran inside. Twilight smiled at this, but it was a smile destined to wither and die. "Now, let's see. I went by the train station to pick up my fabric order. I've been to the grocery store and the jeweler's. The only place left is the..." "Ah!" Rarity stopped in her tracks. She had been running errands in Ponyville, but they were now a trivial concern. Twilight had been uncommonly reclusive for a few days, ever since the learn-and-play day. Now, that alone wasn't too abnormal, but the aggravated shout Rarity had just heard made her worry. Abandoning her planned route, she strode right up to the library's front door and knocked several times. Twilight, however, didn't answer, and neither did Spike. Fearing the worst, Rarity opened the door herself and poked her head inside. "Twilight, darling, are you..." The words died in Rarity's mouth as she stepped into the library. Crumpled up pieces of paper littered the floor, and Twilight was standing at her writing desk. Her mane and tail were ragged with stress, and another aggravated groan escaped her lips before she crumpled up the page she was working on. She tossed it over her shoulder, inadvertently hitting Rarity on the nose. "Ow!" Twilight quickly turned and for a moment panicked, like she had just been caught breaking the law. Her expression, however, quickly softened, and she breathed a sigh of relief. "Oh, Rarity, I thought you were Nyx. And just what were you doing that you don't want Nyx to know about?" Twilight glanced around, and with a surge of magic quickly gathered up all the crumpled pieces of paper that were scattered across the floor. She stuffed them all under her desk and turned to Rarity, as if the papers didn't exist. "So, how are you? Do you need help with anything? Can I help you find a book?" Rarity eyed Twilight a moment, glanced down at the pile of crumpled paper, and looked back to Twilight. "Well, perhaps I do need something to read," she said calmly. "Wonderful. What kind of book would you like?" Twilight asked before she began to walk towards the shelves. "An adventure story? A mystery? Maybe I can interest you in..." "Don't worry, Twilight. I found just what I wanted to read." Twilight turned, expecting to see Rarity holding a book. Instead, while Twilight's back was turned, Rarity had taken one of the crumpled pieces of paper and spread it out flat. She was now reading it, much to Twilight's horror. "Rarity, no, you can't..." Twilight tried to protest. She galloped towards Rarity with the full intent of snatching the page out of her magic. Rarity, however, turned to one side, letting Twilight leap past her and crash to the floor as she continued to read. "Twilight, this is a letter to Princess Celestia about Nyx." Twilight groaned and didn't even bother trying to pick herself up off the floor. She just turned over and lay on her back as she covered her face. "I know." Frowning a little, Rarity folded up the letter and tucked it in her bags before looking back to Twilight. "I would also venture to guess, from your mane and eyes, you haven't had a decent night's sleep in days." "I know," Twilight groaned again. "And just how long have you been like this?" 3 days, Twilight admitted, her hooves still covering her eyes. Rarity nodded her head and picked Twilight up in her magic. "Twilight, I believe you and I have something to discuss, something both of us are going to need a cup of tea for." Despite the odd looks she received from passersby on the street, Rarity carried Twilight all the way back to Carousel Boutique. She then sat Twilight at her kitchen table and prepared an early afternoon tea. The blend was Twilight's favorite. Its aroma alone seemed to bring a little energy back to her. Rarity set a full cup down on the table before sitting down with her own. She took a single sip and waited for Twilight to do the same before breaking the near silence that had befallen her kitchen. "Feeling better?" "A little, yes," Twilight replied weakly. Good. Any improvement is a step in the right direction. Still, I believe we have something to talk about, and I believe this is part of it. At that, Rarity withdrew the half-written letter to Celestia she had folded and placed in her bag back at the library. I don't know what to do, Rarity, Twilight finally admitted, holding her teacup between her hooves and looking at her reflection in the tinted liquid. You don't know what to do about what? Twilight sighed and looked up at Rarity with her bag-lined eyes. Nix, what's the matter? Rarity asked. Has Nix gotten in trouble, or has she gone missing again? No, she's fine and at school. I know. Twilight couldn't bring herself to finish her sentence. She groaned and dropped her head to the desk with a loud thump. What do you know? Rarity asked. Twilight, however, didn't answer, only fueling Rarity's concerns. Fearing the worst, she leaned forward and placed a hoof on Twilight's shoulder. Twilight, what do you know? Twilight didn't lift her head from the table. She only rolled her head enough to look at Rarity from the corner of the eye before she said, Rarity, I know, I finally know for sure that Nix is Nightmare Moon. Rarity lifted her hoof from Twilight's shoulder, unable to believe the words she had just heard leave Twilight's mouth. You know? How do you know? Didn't you see what happened at the tug-of-war finals? I did, but Twilight sat up, eyebrows furrowed. Then you saw what happened to Nix's mane. You saw how she was able to beat those colts by herself. Twilight lowered her head, once more staring at her partially emptied cup of tea. It's just too much to deny anymore. She doesn't just look like Nightmare Moon. She was made by a spell meant to resurrect Nightmare Moon. She has some of Nightmare Moon's memories, and now I'm sure she has Nightmare Moon's power. Body, memories, and magic? I just can't deny it anymore. And this letter, along with all the others? Rarity asked before she gently nudged the uncrumpled letter towards Twilight. I promised you the day you helped me with Ni-. Twilight stopped and shook her head before continuing. The day you helped me with Nightmare Moon's disguise, you made me promise. You made me swear that if I figured out who she really was, then I would send a letter to Princess Celestia. I promised I'd tell the princess everything. And I've been trying to. I've been trying for days, but I just can't find the words. Twilight looked up at Rarity, desperation in her eyes. Rarity, what if she takes her away? What if she sends her to the moon? I'd never see her again. She'd be all alone, and she hates that. And what would I tell her friends when they ask where she's gone? They'd want to see her, want to write her letters. But how would I send letters to the moon? Twilight's frown deepened. She rested her forelegs on the table and held her head in her hooves. But what will happen when she grows up and remembers about her past? She could overthrow Princess Celestia again, bring back the Eternal Night. This might be our only chance to stop her, but... Unable to find anything more to say, Twilight turned to look at Rarity. What do I do? That question ushered in a silence between the two mares. Twilight continued to look to Rarity, hoping for some advice. But Rarity looked just as unsure. She wore a contemplative expression and sipped at her tea, not just once, but twice, before she set down the cup and returned her attention to Twilight. First, you're right. It would be foolish of us to deny the facts in front of us. Nix and Nightmare Moon are the same pony. Rarity's voice grew stronger and gained a commanding tone. That, however, is who she was, Twilight, not who she is. But Rarity, Twilight began, only for Rarity to lift a hoof. Twilight, do you know what happened last week? The Cutie Mark Crusaders, Nyx included, came stumbling into my shop, covered in honey, leaving sticky hoofprints all across my front room. I was, of course, furious. But before I scolded them for making a mess of my boutique, do you know what they were doing?
No, Twilight answered flatly. A smile spread onto Rarity's lips.
They were laughing. They were laughing together at their latest escapade, and Nyx was laughing just as loudly as the others. Twilight, I can understand your fears. I shared those fears when you first brought Nyx into my shop. But,
Rarity continued, ensuring that Twilight did not interrupt,
there is a difference between was and is, Twilight, and what matters is who Nyx is. Nyx is a curious little filly with good friends, three of whom ensure she gets into more than an appropriate amount of trouble for a pony her age.
But what if she grows up evil? What if she...
Twilight! Being worried is perfectly normal, Rarity assured her. Heaven knows I worry about Sweetie Belle every time she goes off with her friends to do their crusading. For the longest time, my parents trusted me to foal-sit her, and she's gotten into more trouble than I ever did growing up. I'm always afraid that some pony will come running into my shop to tell me Sweetie Belle has gotten hurt, or worse.
Rarity paused to take a sip from her tea before continuing.
Despite this, I can't always be there to keep Sweetie Belle safe, and I can't keep her from enjoying her childhood. She should be out there with her friends, having fun and getting into trouble. Not too much trouble, mind you, but some.
Twilight frowned, unconvinced.
But Sweetie Belle is just a normal little unicorn, Rarity. Nyx is just as normal,
Rarity interrupted firmly.
Yes, she's an alicorn, and yes, she may very well be Nightmare Moon reincarnated. I'm not ignoring those facts, Twilight, nor am I ignoring the fact that Nyx could become the same Nightmare Moon that threatened Equestria. There is something, however, you are failing to take into account.
What's that?
You,
Rarity said as she pointed her hoof at Twilight.
Nyx could become the same Nightmare Moon she was, but she also has a chance to become something else, and so far you've been helping her do that.
Rarity's words rang through Twilight's head and left her in a mild stupor. She leaned back in her chair, her body so limp she could have fallen to the floor if the chair was nudged.
But what hope do I have of changing a mare like Nightmare Moon? Well, if you were to ask my opinion, I'd say there isn't any pony better. Twilight, not only have you changed since you came to Ponyville, but you've helped a lot of us change for the better. You helped Applejack to learn to ask for help when she's overwhelmed. You helped Pinkie Pie learn not to jump to conclusions. You helped Princess Luna have fun and make friends on Nightmare Night. And Twilight, even if you hadn't done all that, you'd still be the pony with the best chance of helping Nyx be something else.
Rarity smiled and set her hoof on Twilight's.
Because you're the pony Nyx cares the most about in the world, and you care about her just as much.
Twilight looked at Rarity as those words worked their way through her mind. At first, her expression was of disbelief and uncertainty, but soon, like dirt was being rinsed off her face, Twilight's worried expression fell away. It was replaced by a small smile, as her doubt was replaced by hope, hope that Nightmare Moon could be a different mare.
Thank you, Rarity, Twilight finally said before she leaned in and gave her friend a grateful hug. I'm happy to help, Twilight,
Rarity said, returning the hug.
When Twilight pulled away, Rarity flashed a smile and lifted her cup of tea. We mares have to stick together, after all.
Twilight chuckled and picked up her cup. I guess we do. She then sighed and looked at the uncrumpled, half-written letter on the table. Now I just have to figure out what I'm going to tell Princess Celestia, if I tell her anything at all. If I may say so, Twilight, you may still want to write her about this. It's only going to get worse the longer you put it off. I know, I just want to wait a little longer. I'll try writing the letter again next week when I've had a chance to catch up on my sleep. Speaking of sleep, I do hope you're going to let Nix go to the Cutie Mark Crusader sleepover Apple Bloom is having at Sweet Apple Acres. I can only imagine that she's just as excited about it as Sweetie Belle is. Twilight laughed a little as she remembered how Nix was bouncing happily when she told her what a sleepover was. Probably more excited, considering it's her first, and I think I'll let her go. Rarity paused to take a sip of her tea. That's good. Not only will it make Nix happy, but it may help dispel some of the rumors that are undoubtedly floating around. If ponies see you and Nix walking to Sweet Apple Acres, it may help them believe that what happened at Learn and Play Day wasn't out of the ordinary. After all, if something was wrong, most ponies would expect you to hide Nix away. Which is something I seriously considered, Twilight admitted before taking a sip of tea. But if our friends are any indication, they all just think Nix is really good at magic, like me. So for the moment, I can just say that strong magic runs in our family. After all, I did turn my parents into potted plants when I was taking my entrance exam for Celestia School for Gifted Unicorns. You mean the day you got your cutie mark? Yes, I heard it was quite the impressive display, at least from what Sweetie Belle told me of the story. I would like to hear about it, if you don't mind sharing. I'd love to tell you. It all started when... Just a moment, Rarity interrupted as she lifted a hoof. Why don't you tell me once we're at the spa? Twilight tilted her head. Why would I tell you once we're at the spa? Rarity looked at Twilight as if the reason was obvious. Twilight, dear, just look at yourself. Split ends everywhere and the bags under your eyes. If Nix were to see you like this, she'd never be able to enjoy herself at the sleepover. She might even stay at the library out of worry. No, if you're going to send Nix off to her first sleepover, then you and I must take a trip to the spa. I'm not taking no for an answer. Twilight laughed a little and stood up from the kitchen table. Actually, the spa sounds really good right now.
Well, I don't think our cutie marks have anything to do with being rodeo ponies, Apple Bloom said dejectedly.
She pushed open the door to her bedroom and walked inside with Sweetie Belle, Scootaloo, and Nix following close behind. Their sleeping bags were rolled out on the floor surrounding Apple Bloom's four-post apple-themed bed.
It was kind of fun seeing Big Macintosh tied up like that, Scootaloo said with a chuckle. He didn't even know what hit him.
Tell that to my sister, Apple Bloom replied before she jumped onto her bed. 'Cause if she had found it funny, we wouldn't have been sent to bed already.
Sweetie Belle lay down on her sleeping bag.
Yeah, but that isn't so bad. I'm pretty tired.
Aw, don't tell me you want to go to sleep already, Scootaloo complained.
Sure, we had to go to bed, but there's still a lot of fun things we could do.
Like what?
Scootaloo grabbed a lantern off Apple Bloom's bedside table, turned it down so that it was barely flickering, and then held it beneath her chin. The weak flame cast hard, spooky shadows across Scootaloo's face.
We could tell ghost stories.
No offense, Scootaloo, but your ghost stories aren't that scary, Apple Bloom said. Even Nix isn't afraid of them.
Hey, Nix whined. Scootaloo lowered the lantern from her face before turning it back up so it lit up most of the room.
Okay, then, what do you think we should do?
We could play a board game, Sweetie Belle suggested.
Apple Bloom and Nix perked up at the idea of a board game, but Scootaloo shook her head.
No, that's too boring.
Well, shoot, Apple Bloom grumbled. What are we going to do then?
Well, Twilight gave me a book she said really helped her with her first slumber party,
Nix said. She levitated a book from her saddlebags, which was stacked with the rest by the bedroom door.
Are slumber parties the same as sleepovers?
Sweetie Belle asked as Nix cracked open the book.
Well, you spend the night with friends, so I guess they're the same, Scootaloo said before scrunching up her nose. But I don't want to do any sort of makeover stuff.
Nix flipped through a few pages of the book in her search for ideas.
Me neither. We could have a pillow fight. We've only got 4 pillows, and my bedroom is too small,
Applebloom said, shooting down the idea.
We could make s'mores. We don't have marshmallows, or chocolate, or graham crackers, or even a fire to roast the marshmallows on,
Sweetie Belle pointed out.
Well, ghost stories are in here, too,
Nix said with a slight quiver. She shook her head before the thoughts of scary stories could sink in and continued reading.
But I think we already decided not to do that.
Bet you're glad about that, huh?
Scootaloo teased. Nix glared at Scootaloo for a moment before turning back to the book.
Here's another game, Truth or Dare. That sounds kind of fun,
Sweetie Belle offered with a smile.
How do you play?
Applebloom asked. Nix held a hoof on the page in the book, reading the instructions out loud.
Some pony starts by asking if another pony wants to tell the truth or take a dare. If the pony chooses truth, they have to answer one question truthfully. If they take the dare, they have to do whatever dare the first pony gives them. Once the question is answered or the dare is completed, the next pony in the circle takes their turn. Play continues for as long as desired.
Scootaloo turned over on her sleeping bag, looking at the rest of her friends from her now upside-down perspective.
That sounds kind of boring. I mean, the truth part sounds all right, but what could we dare each other to do?
Oh, I know, Applebloom perked up. Let's make it truth or challenge.
What's the difference? Asked Scootaloo.
Challenges are a lot harder than dares because you actually have to do something, well, challenging, something that might be hard to do. If you don't want to answer a question, then you have to complete a challenge. If you can't, then you have to answer the question.
That sounds way better, Sweetie Belle agreed.
Let's do it.
Nix looked up anxiously, a little worried about the idea. Still, her three friends were very eager to get the game started, so she just put the sleepover guidebook back into her bags and forced some enthusiasm.
Okay, so who wants to go first?
Scootaloo shot upright, enthusiastically thrusting a hoof into the air.
Oh, me, me, Applebloom, truth or challenge?
Applebloom paused to think.
I'll go with the challenge.
I challenge you to stand on your head for 10 seconds. Huh, is that all?
Applebloom replied confidently. Within moments, she was balancing on her head, back legs waving around as her friends counted down.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Applebloom got back to her hooves, smiling triumphantly before wavering. She shook her head to try and clear it.
Whoa, that makes my head all swimmy. Really? Let me try,
Sweetie Belle said before flipping onto her head. Soon the other three Cutie Mark Crusaders were on their heads, laughing and giggling as the blood rushed to their brains.
Okay, Nix. Truth or challenge?
Applebloom asked about an hour later. The game had proven to be an ideal way to end the sleepover. The four friends had done a lot of strange and silly challenges, from seeing how long they could hold their breath to having hoof wrestling contests. It was all in good fun, and Nix was ready for more. She bit her lower lip and focused on Applebloom as she tried to decide what she would do.
Truth,
Nix finally answered.
Applebloom leaned in, lowering her voice. Tell us something you've never told any other pony.
Nix blinked in confusion and tilted her head to one side.
Like what?
Applebloom shrugged.
Anything. Yeah, just make it something cool,
Scootaloo added.
Well, I can't really think of anything to tell you, but...
Nix fell silent and glanced back at her vest.
There is something I can show you.
Really?
What is it?
Sweetie Belle asked.
I think it is better if I just show you, but you have to promise not to tell any other pony. Twilight and Rarity know, but they told me I couldn't show any pony what I'm about to show you.
Oh, boy, this has got to be good if Twilight told you to keep it a secret, Scootaloo grinned. Yeah, we promised not to tell any pony.
Nix turned to look at Applebloom and Sweetie Belle, ensuring that the other two fillies also promised to keep her secret. Despite their nods, Nix had one more condition.
And you have to promise me you won't hate me, and we'll still be friends after I show you.
Well, that's a silly thing to promise, Applebloom said, as Sweetie Belle nodded her head in agreement.
We're the Cutie Mark Crusaders. We're going to be best friends for life.
No matter what, Scootaloo stated firmly with a strong, confident smile. Nix smiled nervously, looking at her three friends. Her decision made, she got up from her sleeping bag and walked across the room into Applebloom's closet. She slipped inside and shut the door behind her. For a moment, all Applebloom, Scootaloo, and Sweetie Belle could hear was the sound of rustling. They craned their necks, watching and waiting anxiously until the door opened. Nix nervously walked out, carrying her vest in her teeth. Once she was a few steps out of the closet, she spread her wings, stretching them for a few moments before letting them fold to her sides. Sweetie Belle, Scootaloo, and Applebloom all stared, with eyes wide and jaws hanging open. Nix set down her vest and waited for her friends to say something. They, however, remained unnervingly silent. She frowned and looked away from her friends anxiously. Tears started to pull at her eyes, and she began to retreat back into the closet. She was sure she had just made a horrible mistake. Yet before Nix could flee or hide, her three friends surrounded her.
"Why didn't you tell us sooner you had wings?" Applebloom asked.
"Well, Rarity told me that if ponies knew I had both a horn and wings, they would get jealous of me. I didn't ask for them. I just have them," and Sweetie Belle nodded.
"Oh, yeah. You could so make Diamond Tiara and Silver Spoon jealous."
"But aren't you jealous? Rarity said every pony would be, and I don't want to make you three jealous."
"No, why would we be jealous?" Applebloom asked. "It's just part of who you are. It'd be silly as me being jealous of how well Sweetie Belle sings."
"Or me being jealous of how well Scootaloo rides her scooter," Sweetie Belle chimed in. Scootaloo motioned to herself with a hoof.
"Or me being jealous of how good Applebloom is at fixing up things like our clubhouse."
"Yeah, it's like my big sister Applejack says. There ain't no point in being jealous, 'cause it doesn't change how things are."
"Why do you have wings and a horn?" Sweetie Belle asked, unable to contain her curiosity. "The only ponies I know that have both are Princess Celestia and Princess Luna."
"Don't forget about Princess Cadence," Scootaloo added.
"Well, isn't it obvious?" Applebloom asked, looking at her friends who only answered her with silent, blank stares.
"Well, okay, maybe not so obvious."
"Just spit it out, Applebloom," said Scootaloo.
"I bet that one of Nix's parents is a unicorn, and the other is a Pegasus."
Sweetie Belle cocked an eyebrow.
"Does it really work like that? I mean, isn't there some pony else in her class that has a unicorn for a mom and a Pegasus for a dad?"
"Well, maybe it doesn't happen all the time," Scootaloo guessed. "I mean, isn't there also a pony in our class who has a pair of unicorns as parents, but doesn't have a horn of her own?"
Applebloom nodded as she turned to jump back into her bed.
"Yeah, there is, and I think Scootaloo's right. It must only happen some of the time. Anyway, Nix, it's your turn."
Nix, Sweetie Belle, and Scootaloo returned to their sleeping bags. She couldn't deny that it felt nice not having to wear her vest. Her wings always felt kind of scrunched up beneath the fabric. She allowed her wings to flutter a little as she lay down on her sleeping bag. She then turned her attention back to the game.
"Okay, Sweetie Belle, truth or challenge?"
"Truth," Sweetie Belle answered without a moment's hesitation.
"What's the funniest story you have of your big sister Rarity?"
Sweetie Belle snorted and started giggling.
"You're going to like this.
It didn't take long for Sweetie Belle to tell the story, and by the end all four fillies were giggling loudly until a pounding came at the bedroom door.
"Apple Bloom, you and your friends get to sleep right this minute, or I'm going to come in there and hog-tie all of you to your sleeping bags,"
Applejack threatened, clearly irritated by the late-night noise.
"I've got apple bucking to do in the morning, and I won't have you four keeping me up all night."
The four fillies chimed back up, "We're sorry," and with their game over, decided to call it a night. Apple Bloom blew out the lantern in a room, and the four friends lay down to go to sleep. Still, before any pony could fall asleep, Nyx broke the silence.
Girls, thank you for still being my friends, even after I showed you my wings."
"Oh, of course we're still your friends,"
Sweetie Belle replied from her own sleeping bag.
"We're the Cutie Mark Crusaders. That's like being friends for life with a cool theme song."
Sweetie Belle gently cleared her throat and began to sing.
"We are the Cutie Mark Crusaders, on a quest to find out who we are. And we will never stop the journey, not until we have our cutie marks."
While Sweetie Belle had been the one to start singing, the other three soon joined in. It wasn't the intense, arguably painful, rock ballad that had been performed at the talent show. Instead, the three sang it softly, softly enough that even Scootaloo's voice was bearable. The four drifted off to sleep to the sound of their own theme song, none resting as well as Nyx. She had shared a secret about herself with her friends, and they had accepted her all the same. Nexus stared at the moon with turquoise eyes through his study window, floating a glass of orange juice nearby. He swirled the contents gently while intently examining a scroll. It was one of the reports he had received from the spy, and while some of the information was welcoming, other pieces were troubling. His plan had gone off without a hitch for the most part. Through his connections at Celestia's School for Gifted Unicorns, he had sent out flyers to every school in Equestria, pitching the idea of a learn and play day. He had then instructed Filthy Rich to approach Cheera Lee and convince her of the idea's merit. In the end, Cheera Lee held her own learn and play day, and during the event, the spy had been able to accomplish his goal. He had observed and spoken with Nyx while Twilight Sparkle was preoccupied elsewhere. He had been able to learn a great deal, despite being interrupted by one particular pink mare. He witnessed and reported the two feats of magic Nyx had performed, turning a pony into a tree, and her performance in the game of tug-of-war. It was a kind of magic that only a few ponies could control at such a young age. There was no denying that the magical potential was there, but potential was not enough. Nyx did not act like Nightmare Moon. She did not speak condescendingly to the country bumpkins of Ponyville. The spy described her as a nervous and timid filly that only had a few friends her own age. He would have expected to hear she was a troublemaker. He would have been happy to hear that she was the most popular filly in school, swaying the minds of her classmates like any young queen should. Nyx, however, was far from these standards. But the potential was there, and that would be enough to make her Nightmare Moon. Making a second attempt at the resurrection spell without the lingering shreds would be impossible. But Nyx could be used as a seed. She could be used to draw in the traces of Nightmare Moon's magic which had been dispersed by Princess Celestia's interruption. That magic would bear with it the echoes of Nightmare Moon, the memories, the emotions, the essence of the great dark empress would fill Nyx, and she would become the queen Equestria deserved. But completing the spell would be difficult. He would need time to prepare, resources, and above all, power.
the spell would need to be obscenely powerful. That was the only way to be sure the ritual would be completed before Celestia could interfere a second time. A powerful spell, however, could not be set up secretly. One precluded the other, and thus Spell Nexus found himself thinking in circles. There was a need to act quickly before something happened, but he could not act overtly. The spell had to be powerful, but it had to be done secretly. If he could not strike a perfect balance, he risked another failure or revealing his true intentions to Celestia. What he needed was... Sir... Nexus glanced over his shoulder and at his butler, who was standing in the study's doorway. Yes, proper etiquette. Princess Celestia is at the front door and wishes to have a word with you. Shall I see her in? Yes, please, Nexus replied, closing his turquoise-colored eyes. When he reopened them, they had reverted to their original slate-gray color. He finished the rest of the orange juice in his glass and walked across the room. He sat in his favorite chair and picked up a book, all in an effort to make Celestia believe that the only thing she had interrupted was a quiet evening reading. The timing was near perfect. Nexus had just settled into one of his chairs with a book when the doors opened and Princess Celestia strolled in. Her guards remained in the hallway and pulled the door shut once she was inside.
"Thank you for allowing me into your lovely home at such a late hour, Nexus," Princess Celestia said as she strode across the room. "I do hope I wasn't interrupting anything."
Nexus set his book down on a nearby end table.
"A good book, and nothing more. Still, I find it surprising you are out and about at such an hour. You are usually in bed by this time."
The princess came to a stop beside Nexus.
"If I may be honest with you, I have been having trouble sleeping."
"Then please," Nexus began. He motioned to a large cushion that was kept in his study specifically as a seat for royal Alicorn guests. "Make yourself comfortable and then tell me what troubles you." Princess Celestia took Nexus's offer, sitting down on the cushion as she began to speak. She told Spell Nexus about the spell in the forest, about the research his co-worker Bastion was doing, and of many other things Celestia had learned about the Children of Nightmare. It was information Nexus knew already, but he feigned interest all the same. He listened and offered appropriate levels of shock and disbelief.
"To think there are ponies trying to resurrect Nightmare Moon. It is hard to believe some would be so foolish," Nexus mused when Princess Celestia finished.
He poured a fresh glass of orange juice for himself and offered some to her. She replied with a smile and a shake of her head.
"But you stopped them," Nexus pointed out. He lifted his glass in a casual toast. "And Equestria continues to thrive in your protective embrace. So why have you not been sleeping well?"
Princess Celestia was silent for a moment before looking at Nexus with a grave expression.
"I've come to believe that the spell, while interrupted, may not have been completely unsuccessful."
"What makes you say that?" Nexus asked with a concerned frown.
"Do you know my student, Twilight Sparkle?"
A chuckle escaped Nexus's lips.
"The most magically gifted unicorn I've ever had the pleasure of meeting? Of course I know your student. I would bet that every pony at your school knows of her, both staff and students. Why do you ask?" "At the spring festival in Ponyville, I discovered Twilight was taking care of a young filly by the name of Nyx, who she said was her half-cousin," Celestia explained. "A filly that, if my sources are to be believed, started living with us shortly after the incident in the forest. A filly who, in recent days, performed two very profound feats of magic at a school weekend event."
Nexus took a sip from his glass, not finding the information at all troubling.
"I can only imagine powerful magic runs in the family." Yes, if Nyx was related to Twilight, such magical power would be expected, Princess Celestia said. Yet I have checked the family records. There is no listing of Twilight having a half-cousin named Nyx. In fact, there is no listing of a Nyx being born in Equestria in the past several decades. It's as if she appeared out of thin air.
Nexus, who had been taking another sip of his orange juice, froze up for a single moment. He eyed Celestia over the rim of his glass and resumed drinking before she could notice. "Appeared out of thin air," Nexus echoed after clearing his throat. "Your Highness, do you believe that Nyx didn't exist until a few months ago, that she literally appeared out of thin air?"
"I don't think she just appeared, but I do believe Nyx's origins are far different from a common pony's. Based on the research done by Bastian Yorsitz and his team, I've come to know for certain that the ritual I interrupted was designed to bring back Nightmare Moon. It was also within days of the spell's failure that Nyx appeared in Ponyville. There are no records of her existing before she was registered for school. No pony in Ponyville knows anything more about Nyx's history than what Twilight herself has told me. As I have said, it seems like she appeared out of thin air, as if by magic."
Nexus nodded. "I see. You believe Nightmare Moon and Nyx are one and the same?" Nexus took a deep breath. "I do believe I understand why you've been losing sleep."
"No, Spell Nexus, you don't," Celestia replied. She stood up and walked across the room. "For it is not as simple as you make it sound."
"What is there to make it complex?" he asked. He sipped at his orange juice, trying to quell a tremor of fear that had slipped into his voice.
"The fact that Nyx doesn't act anything like the mare I once knew," Princess Celestia replied as she reached the study's window. She looked at the moon while memories of the past overwhelmed her. Nightmare Moon, the real Nightmare Moon, was a vindictive, deceptive, hateful pony. She desired to plunge Equestria into eternal night, not just so ponies would appreciate the beauty of the stars and moon, but also so they would be deprived of the sun they loved so dearly. She was a threat to all Equestria, and I watched it happen. I watched as Luna, my dear sister, became that monstrous mare, bent on vengeance. It was my duty as a big sister to protect her, and I failed. I failed so horribly that I had to banish her to the moon and wait 1,000 years for 6 ponies to do what I could not. And now," Celestia continued, lowering her head. Her regal composure was failing, and a tired expression took its place on her face. "The past few nights my dreams have been haunted. I see Nyx growing to become the monster I once knew. She laughs and plunges Equestria into eternal night. She takes away my sister and Twilight Sparkle. I scream and reach out to them, only to find myself sitting up in my bed in an icy sweat." "I fear this filly, Nexus," Celestia concluded with a heavy sigh. "But at the same time, I feel guilty for fearing her."
"Why would you feel guilty?" Nexus asked.
Celestia turned her back on the window. "Because Nyx has done nothing to warrant such fear. I have met Nyx personally over a short dinner, and she acted nothing like the Nightmare Moon I knew. At first she was scared of me and my sister. She shied away, and only after some encouragement from Twilight was Nyx even able to say hello to us. Eventually, Nyx drew herself out of her shell, and after that she laughed and spoke excitedly on many topics. She spoke of friends, spoke of school, spoke of things a normal filly her age would want to talk about, things Nightmare Moon would never care about. And thus I am torn, Princess Celestia explained. I worry about what Nyx might become, but I wonder if she is different than Nightmare Moon. She is the product of that spell, and yet she acts like any normal filly. That spell Nexus is what is troubling me.
It would trouble any pony, Nexus said, faking concern. I am honored you would come to speak to me about this, but I must ask, what does Princess Luna think of her? Certainly she, who was once Nightmare Moon, would be able to judge Nyx's true nature.
I must confess, I have been doing everything in my power to keep this a secret from Luna, Princess Celestia said, her words burdened with guilt. It has not been easy. She was able to sense the same surge of magic I felt rise up from the Everfree Forest some time ago. By some stroke of luck, I've been able to convince her it was nothing to worry about, and have kept the rest of what I've told you hidden.
Nexus frowned. I find it strange that you would want to keep this a secret from Luna. Do you not trust her with this matter?
No, I do trust her, but I choose to keep this a secret to protect her,
Princess Celestia admitted.
Call me a fool if you wish, Nexus, but I'm Luna's big sister. I lost her once to Nightmare Moon, and I don't want her getting anywhere near this. This is why I've come to you,
Princess Celestia continued as she moved away from the window, retaking her seat next to him.
Because, while I cannot turn to Luna in this, I need some pony to talk to. I need some pony to give me an honest opinion. Am I wrong to fear Nyx? Am I wrong to doubt my student's ability to judge character? Assuming Twilight has noticed the similarities between Nyx and Nightmare Moon, would she not have come to me if she felt Nyx was a danger? And even if Nyx grows to be the same in body and power, could she not be her own mare? Or do my dreams tell me the simple truth, that in time Nyx will become the only mare in the world I truly fear?
Silence fell upon the study as Nexus slowly took his gaze off the princess. He closed his eyes and swirled his glass. He tried to make it look like he was pondering the question, but in truth, he was considering the situation as a whole. Princess Celestia saw there was a chance the filly was a threat to Equestria, but did not act because of her feelings. An alicorn of her power and stature, hesitating because of her bleeding, tender heart. He'd pity the princess if her weakness wasn't so pathetic. Above that, the thought of Nightmare Moon's return scared her. She feared having to face Equestria's true queen, and for good reason. Nightmare Moon would be a much greater threat without Princess Luna's feelings holding her back. Indecision, compassion, and fear, all weaknesses that only proved to Nexus that Princess Celestia wasn't fit to rule Equestria. Only the cold wisdom of Nightmare Moon would ensure the kingdom's future. Yet, these weaknesses were not without their purpose. Nyx's took a sip of orange juice, using it to hide the smile that was trying to creep onto his lips. Only once he was able to force the smile away did he lower the glass and begin to speak. You are not wrong to fear, Nyx. It is your job as a ruler of this kingdom to try and foresee anything that would arise to threaten Equestria. Right now, Nyx is a credible threat. Nightmare Moon is among the worst things to happen to Equestria in recorded history. And if there is even a small chance that Nyx could become her, then she is a threat you should take seriously.
But I cannot condemn Nyx for what she might do, just as I cannot punish a normal pony for a crime they have not yet committed, Celestia argued. Not only would that go against Equestrian law, Twilight would never forgive me.
Your concern for your student is heartwarming, Princess Celestia, but I shouldn't need to remind you that you have a whole kingdom to worry about. Is it not better to save every pony in Equestria from the danger that is Nightmare Moon, even if it means one particular unicorn doesn't like you anymore? It is better, Nexus, the princess admitted reluctantly. And perhaps if I were a stronger mare, I could do what is best for the kingdom without batting an eye. I, however, cannot, and will not, act against Nyx unless more evidence becomes available, even if it means I must endure sleepless nights. Then maybe I can offer that evidence, Nexus replied, smiling gently. And how would you do that? Nexus turned his head, looking across the many books tucked away on the study shelves. If I remember correctly, there is a magical ritual from the zebra homelands that may just be the answer to this predicament. With a delicate touch, he levitated a book from the shelves and cracked it open. He flicked through the pages, not truly reading the words, but doing it more for appearances. He continued to turn pages for several moments before finally settling on a spot deep within the tome. Yes. It would take time to study it, even longer to prepare, but if the spell works, you will be able to take a glimpse inside Nyx's mind. From that glimpse, you should be able to see whether or not the filly is some pony you need to fear. Celestia smiled as the weights of fear and doubt began to lift from her chest. Spell Nexus, do you honestly believe you can prepare this spell? Can you promise that this spell will do as you say?
I don't know if I can outright promise, but I am very certain, he replied with a confident grin.
Then please, coordinate your efforts on the spell within the palace. I will make the arrangements so that anything and everything you will need to perform this spell is provided, Princess Celestia said, as she crossed the room and approached him. Do whatever it takes to get this spell prepared as quickly as possible.
Nexus bowed respectfully. It would be my pleasure to do so, Princess, but I should warn you of something. If I remember correctly, Nyx will need to be present. This isn't something that can be done unless she's at least in the same room. Nyx would need to be brought to the spell, taken from Twilight. The smile that had only just made its way onto Princess Celestia's face vanished, replaced by a frown. For a moment she sat in silence, contemplating the one catch to her and Nexus's newly hatched plan.
Nyx would need to be taken from Twilight Sparkle? The princess asked, as if hoping she had misheard.
Yes, Nexus stated coldly. I would strongly suggest Nyx is brought here while Twilight is left in Ponyville.
But couldn't Twilight accompany her? Princess Celestia asked. Would they truly need to be separated?
I believe so, Nexus answered, a heavy tone of regret in his voice. I think it would be unwise to have such a magically talented unicorn present for the test. While you easily outclass Twilight with your power, she could do something regrettable before you could stop her if she feels we're harming Nyx. Even if Twilight managed to control herself, watching Nyx be tested would be difficult for her.
Nexus sighed and scratched his forehead.
To put it simply, Princess, do you really want to put Twilight through something like that? Do you want to have her there, to watch the test, knowing what it could reveal?
Personally, I feel Twilight's presence at the spell would only cause more trouble for us and more heartache for her, especially if she is as attached to Nyx as you suggest. I must strongly advise that Twilight remains in Ponyville.
Then that shall be my part in this, Princess Celestia said in defeat, her heart once again heavy in her chest.
Spell Nexus, I would ask you to simply focus on preparing the spell. I will handle the task of fetching Nyx personally.
Are you sure?
The princess nodded. Twilight deserves as much. Nexus snapped the book shut and placed it on his desk before smiling reassuringly to Princess Celestia. Very well, I will begin preparations in the morning. I will need time to study the spell, and then I will need time to gather the materials and prepare. Once the spell is ready, however, I will inform you so that you can perform your part. After that, it will take but a few minutes to know whether or not Nyx poses a threat to Equestria. Thank you, Nexus, Princess Celestia said, managing a weak, half-hearted smile. You have been of greater service this evening than I could have hoped for. Nexus offered a short bow as a playful smile pulled at his lips. Do give me some credit, Princess. My special talent is, after all, creating and understanding complex spells. Oh, I haven't forgotten. After all, it wasn't so long ago that you were one of my faithful students, Princess Celestia teased with her usual playful tone. And now I believe I've taken up enough of your evening. I shall return to the castle to get some rest. But please send word to me when you are ready to begin preparing the spell. Also, do not share our conversation here with more ponies than necessary. I do not want to burden Luna with this, and I do not want to cause a public panic about Nightmare Moon's return. Of course, Princess, Nexus replied. He got out of his chair and walked with the princess to the door of his study. I will keep what we discussed here a secret to all but those who need to know about it. I hope you have a pleasant evening. A good night to you as well, Spell Nexus, Princess Celestia said. Nexus returned the farewell with a wave of his hoof as the princess slipped out of the study doors. He waited until she rounded a corner further down the hall before he pulled the door shut and moved to the far side of his study. With a gentle smile, he looked out the window and watched as the princess entered the courtyard and boarded her chariot. He even waved briefly as the chariot departed. It was only when Princess Celestia was out of sight that Nexus allowed his slate-gray eyes to return to the turquoise color that marked him as a member of the Children of Nightmare. His gentle grin turned menacing, and he had to fight the urge to laugh out loud. Horn-glowing, Nexus began pulling books off his study shelves. Yes, he would need time to prepare, but now he had all the time he would need. He had no fear of the princess acting, for she was waiting for him to help her act. He had even convinced her to keep Twilight in Ponyville, which would make things much easier for him. A second opportunity. He had been given a second chance to complete the spell, and it had been laid in his hooves by none other than the Sun Tyrant herself. Fate and destiny were on his side. The world itself worked to help him bring back Equestria's true queen. Celestia, you have become a contributing architect in your own demise, Nexus whispered before diving into the work that lay ahead of him.